Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I didn't see the show on Saturday night. Sadly, I did not see the great show from Madison Square Garden. I have heard nothing but great things about it, though, from The Who's performance. I know, Mike, you watched the show. Paul McCartney, the firefighters, it was a tremendous show. I haven't heard too much said about the other show with Michael Jackson and Aerosmith, but I know that it was quite an emotional weekend. Margaret Gray, who does a syndicated column for the Blorn News Syndicate, is on the line with us now from Santa Monica. You were at the show in New York. Are you still in New York?
I am still, yes.
Tell us, did you enjoy the show?
You know something, Phil? I flew 3,000 miles from Los Angeles. Can I say first off that no one supports the firefighters as much as I do, and no one supports the wonderful work that the New York Police Department did as much as I do. But having said that, I have to tell you, we had a difficult time covering the event. We did not have any front row seats. As you know, the media is generally accorded front row access to these events. I do have a press pass, and I am a member of the working press because my column is syndicated in approximately 150 newspapers. So,
well, the firefighters, as I understand it, how many were there? Were there 3,000 or a lot of them, Mike? How many, Mike? 6,000?
I don't know how many there were.
Well, you were there. I mean, did you...
My job wasn't to go there and count firefighters. My job was to go there and to talk to and review the performances of some of the seminal artists in rock today. And so when you ask me that, I'm not prepared for that question. I don't...
No, it just seems to be part of the story was the firefighters and the marvelous accolades paid to them.
Yeah, the marvelous accolades.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I don't know that I... First of all, I did not have any kind of front row or close row access to the performance. Second of all, I had limited backstage access. Generally, I have an all-access pass.
And well, what is an all-access pass?
That means you get everywhere backstage. But I didn't get that. They allowed a lot of these firefighters, I guess. I don't know. I didn't understand what the whole evening was about. All I know is that...
Well, the evening was in part about honoring those guys as heroes.
Still, they are great men. They are good, solid, hard-working heroes. And in making that point, and I made that in my point, that my column today, they don't need to sit up close. Because as heroes, they're used... You understand what I'm saying? They're used to sitting in the back rows. So it's not going to bother them. And
Well, why didn't you and other members of the press simply say, tonight is for the firefighters, okay, and I'll just sit in the back row, and you say you didn't have access to the artists?
I do one-on-one interviews. I don't do tent interviews. In other words, I don't sit in a press tent and talk with 15 other guys going... Excuse me, when Keith Moon died, was that the end of the band? You know, these ridiculous things. I do one-on-one. When I talk to Pete Townsend, when I talk to Roger Daltrey, when I talk to any of the members of The Who or Yes or any of the bands, I do a one-on-one. And I did not have that opportunity on Saturday night. And I'm here to say to you and to other people... that don't understand what we do in the working press, I am put out, I'm disappointed, I'm flummoxed, I'm flustered, I'm all in a heap as the result of this, I think, really shoddy treatment.
I'm having a hard time understanding. In other words, the show was great for everybody but you. I mean, let me tell you about firefighters, okay?
And Phil, I don't need to be told about firefighters. I interviewed Ron Howard extensively for Backdraft. If you've been to the Backdraft experience at Universal Studios, you've lived through a five-alarm warehouse fire. I know what our firefighters are up against.
No, I don't think... What do you mean if you've lived through the Backdraft experience at Universal? What is that?
I do a very intimate interview with people. I sit down one-on-one. The last time I interviewed Roger Daltrey, it was one-on-one with a Sauvignon Blanc. We had a cheese plate, a selection of fruits. There was a bubbling hot tub. In other words, I do interviews that are one-on-one, intimate, close, almost sexual, but not really that kind of contact.
Well, I don't think that going to the to this event at Madison Square Garden was going to be one of those things, okay? I mean, this was a huge...
Listen, I went backstage. You know who Tammy Sauter is with Corona Records?
Is she one of the A&R people?
She does A&R. She told me to leave the dressing room area. Now, who is she? I've worked in this business for over 20 years, doing a variety of celebrity profiles, and some A&R person tells me to clear out. Then I had to go to one of the areas where the press was fed. I eat with the stars. I don't eat with the press. I eat.
Well, you're a member of the press.
I'm sorry?
You're a member of... What do you mean you don't eat with the press, you eat with the stars? You're a member of the press.
I had to go into a press tent, eat cantaloupe cubes, eat jicama, you know, that jicama with ranch dressing, eat cauliflower with blue cheese... And those little tomatoes, I don't understand why that...
Well, what do you do? Do you break bread with Roger Daltrey? Do you break bread with Paul McCartney?
I do a one-on-one. That's my métier. So I guess what I'm saying to you...
You know that we've been talking for 7 minutes here, Margaret?
Yes.
And we haven't said anything about the show. We haven't said anything about honoring these firefighters. All we're talking about is you and how you weren't treated right...
Right now, Phil, our country is under attack. Do I have to remind you?
Oh, let's not go into hyperbole here, okay?
No, our country is under attack. If the free press in this society is under attack, then it...
Yeah, the free press in our society is under attack because you had to eat jicama cubes with ranch dressing? Because...
Oh, don't talk down to me.
Well, that's what you're saying. You're saying I didn't get to do a one-on-one. I didn't have a bubbling Sauvignon Blanc, and I had to eat those little tiny tomatoes with blue cheese dressing. Isn't that what you're telling me?
Phil, whose idea was it to put all the firemen up front? That's what I want to know. I'm up there with the New York Times, the LA Times. We're all looking at each other and wondering, is someone going to step forward and take charge of this insanity? Is someone...
Well, okay.
That's all we were looking for. Who was going to step up to the plate and finally say, all the firemen 10 rows back? The press needs to sit up front. God, am I alone? Am I all alone here? Am I the only one?
Well, do the other members of the working press agree with you that you were treated badly, that you didn't sit up front? You're complaining about the food that you had to eat?
Phil, it is difficult for me to give that show a very good review because I know now how callous they were toward me and other members of the press.
That's all I want to do is talk about this show.
Well, I can't.
Did you like it?
No, I didn't because after I was forced to eat cube cantaloupe and the jicama wedges with ranch dressing at a press tent, no, I'm not prepared to give the show a good review. I thought the Who was ham-fisted and awkward given their 20-year layoff and reports of arthritis. And,
you're kidding.
No, I'm hearing that. Also, I thought that Paul McCartney was rough around the edges, decidedly disinterested. I thought Mick Jagger was very arrogant. He always was. You know, he caught me once backstage at one of the shows, and he, to this day, always talks about, he calls me ankle ears. And I find it crude. I find it rude.
I don't know what ankle ears means.
It means that...
Oh. So your ankles...
That's right. And I find that very rude. So my review of that show, I can't do a positive one because the press was not allowed to sit up front and we had to eat the jicama wedges...
With the blue, the ranch dressing. Look...
And David Bowie, what's with the one brown eye and the one... What is that? Jesus. You look at his face...
All right, hold on for a minute, Margaret, because I think this is unfair of you to miss the point of that concert was to honor the firefighters and...
You can honor the firefighters with them sitting 5, 10, or 20 rows back. I'm absolutely sitting here with palpitations about how we were treated with the cubed...
Jicama and the blue cheese...
Dressing.
Right. Get a load of that. She's got an all-access back... She don't have no backstage pass. She's got a limited backstage pass. All those guys get limited backstage passes. What's with her and the all-access pass? I've been going to rock and roll shows for radio stations my whole life. I never got a pass in to see, you know, that's because I was a guy. All the female disc jockeys, they got to go anywhere they wanted to go. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. So Margaret Gray is talking with us about the concert at Madison Square Garden on Saturday night. Apparently, she is going to write in her column that she wasn't able to see the show from the front row because the firefighters were all there, and she did not get an all-access pass to the backstage area, and was told to leave the dressing room area, which I guess is, these are all experiences foreign to her. I said, well, it's honoring the firefighters. She said she interviewed Ron Howard once about his film Backdraft. She knows about firefighters. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I have covered some of the biggest rock shows in the world, and I have never, ever had to sit 20 or 30 rows back. When you cover the major musical events of the culture as a journalist, as a fully accredited journalist, you don't sit 20 rows back. Now,
the firefighters in New York had a rare opportunity to sit up close and watch these great performers. What's wrong with that?
You don't get it, do you, Phil? You see,
what don't I get?
What you don't get is these men are, they're firefighters. They're used to having buildings falling on them and hoses breaking and getting hosed down, everything going down a pole, falling off a pole. All of the things in life that are humiliating, it happens to those who are really...
I see. So in other words, these guys have just got to keep eating the crap because they're used to... What do you mean falling off a pole? Okay? I mean, these are the guys...
When they're sliding down the pole, that kind of... They fall. And I'm saying that these men are used to it. I've got a show to cover.
You got a show to cover. You covered your show, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I did not cover it, and I won't cover the show.
You were there. You just refused to cover the show because you didn't have a good ticket. Greg on the Phil Hendry Show, go ahead.
Phil?
Greg on the Phil Hendry Show, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil.
Okay, Greg on the Phil Hendry Show, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, this is...
All right, let's go over to Todd on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Why'd you hang up on him?
Go ahead.
I just think that this lady, whoever she is, I want to know, first off, who in the world does she work for?
I work for the Blown...
Who?
Syndicate. Blown Syndicate.
Barnes Syndicate.
It's a new syndicate.
So you really, truly believe that these firemen and the police officers are below you, right? Is that what you believe?
I didn't say that. I said for the purposes of covering a rock concert, I must be up close. Second row.
You are just so much like the media.
Let me ask you something. Well, wait a second.
This is not about you.
This
is about thousands of people.
Why did they
about thousands of people that have died on September 11th. And these people are being honored, and the firefighters and the policemen are being honored.
I didn't
not
see.
You.
Wait,
not
wait.
Not
I,
you.
I didn't
not
see
you.
Any of the dead people there. I saw fire.
Can we not talk about the people that died?
Well, he says it's about them.
It is. It's about the firefighters that go in there, into the fire, into this danger.
Yes, so
you're dangerous.
What's wrong with them sitting 10
rows back? You've got a velvet pillow that you sit your butt on every day.
What's wrong with them sitting 10 rows back? I don't see. You don't understand how to cover a rock concert. I do. And
what difference does it make if you cover the rock concert from 10 rows back or the front row?
From the front
exactly,
row, you
sir.
See the performance well. If you're 10 rows back, you're telling me 10 rows back is a bad seat.
I'm not saying 10 rows back is a bad seat. It's probably a very good seat. But those guys got to sit up front because that's exactly what the artists wanted them to do. Here is Gigi on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, Gigi.
I want to make a comment about this woman reporter.
You know
I think
something?
That it's horrible.
It's interesting. I'm
really
going to write my column
to be
right now.
Outweighing the importance of what these firefighters did. And I want to know what would it take for her to give up her seat to one of these heroes.
Wait a minute. Gigi, hold on. What are you doing, Margaret?
Dateline, I'm writing my column for tomorrow. And Gigi, you'll be interested in this. And you too, Mr. Hendry. Hold on. Dateline, Los Angeles. I appeared on the Phil Hendry radio show last night. And I was treated like a pile of dog crap by his callers.
But you deserve it with the way you're acting. I think
Hold
it's
on,
horrible.
I'm
it's
gonna
disgusting.
Quote you. A caller named Gigi called from Miami and said, I deserve to be treated like dog crap.
When you
furthermore,
will you knock it off with your word processor?
Yes? Hello? Gigi, tongue-tied, had nothing more to say after I slammed her. You'll see, Phil.
Gigi, you there? No, I guess she's gone. All right. Don't write your column while I'm interviewing you.
Mr. Henry, in an arrogant attempt to try to control my life, told me that...
Don't write your column while I'm trying to talk to you. Please.
I just think that you not understanding... I have an all-access media pass.
Well, you didn't have an all-access pass last night. You didn't get to go in and interview the artist one-on-one. You had to sit out and eat your jicama cubed up with the blue cheese ranch dressing or whatever that crap is. And believe me, I've been there, okay?
You've been there.
Yes, I have. I've had my share of jicama with ranch dressing backstage with the press tent and all that crap. That is the life that we have to live, those of us in the press.
Oh, you're in the press now.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, yeah, you are only a DJ. That's not a member of the working print.
Yeah. Hey, Margaret. Margaret. I have something to say.
Hello.
My uncle's a volunteer. Fire me up in New York City, and you don't know what you're talking about saying he should have been in the 20th row.
Who?
My uncle's a NYPD fireman, NYFD, and you don't know what you're talking about. You go and say that when you've been on the backdraft exhibit at Universal Studios.
Yes. Have you been there?
Ma'am, I'm a volunteer fireman. Have you ever been in a burning down house smelling the flesh of a rotting baby?
If you go a flesh of a rotting, was it burning or rotting? Which was it?
Either way, the baby's flesh was on fire, and this is smell like
but
you'll never smell
a
backdraft in Universal Studios. You don't know what you're talking about, you stupid idiot.
If the baby was rotting, then it was already dead. Okay, Dave from Houston called in, a real idiot.
Will you knock it off with your column?
Did you hear what this idiot said?
He's not an idiot. He's trying to make a point. So you're a volunteer firefighter, huh, Dave?
Yeah, sure.
For who?
I am.
For who?
Houston.
Dave, tongue-tied, had to come up with a quick answer because he's really not a volunteer firefighter.
Okay.
What makes you think he's really not
an idiot?
Are you a volunteer firefighter or are you just making that up to get on the air?
I'm a volunteer fireman.
Unconvincingly, he told me...
Will you forget your column?
Put me in your damn column. I hope you do. I'll tell my uncle to read it so we can call you and tell you you're an idiot, too.
I want your last name.
Don't give her your last name. Don't give her your last name. Don't do it.
I'm not as stupid as she is.
I'm stupid, am I?
You really are.
Dave, insulting as ever.
You're the most ignorant person I've ever talked to in my entire life, and I live in Texas. There's a lot of ignorant people down here.
Well, I'll second that.
Oh, man.
Where are you from? England? Why don't you go back to England?
Yes, I'm from England. England? I come from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, originally, and I've lived in Southern California for the last 31 years.
Well, there's your problem right there. Why don't you come down here to Texas? We'll stick that attitude right up your butt.
Dave, disguising his ignorance behind a veil of incredulity, said that it...
Well, are you writing a column there or are you on my show?
Listen
hey, Phil.
To you.
Yes,
Phil,
sir.
Let her write a column about me. I really wish she would.
Then I need your last name.
Do not give her your last name, whatever you do, Dave.
Oh,
don't
worry. I'm not
because
giving her
the
my
next,
last
she'll
name.
Put your name in her column. Next thing you know, you get nothing but calls from weirdos for the rest of your life.
Like her right now?
No, I didn't call you, darling. You called me.
I called to pull a rebuttal against you for saying that going to Universal Studios in the backdraft is the same as going in a fire.
I've been told, because I went through the backdraft exhibit, that it was the same as going through a five-alarm warehouse fire started by a firebug.
Have you ever been in a fire where the temperature's raising about 400 or 500 degrees?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
You get caught in a backdraft, and the backdraft singes the tip of your ears, and yet you don't know what you're talking about,
lady.
That's what
I'm trying to tell you. The backdraft exhibit is the same thing.
The backdraft exhibit, I've been in the backdraft exhibit, Dave. It isn't even close to being in a real fire. They light a bunch of fires, and you stand there like a jackball, and then you move on, and you get cotton candy. There's nothing at all.
Oh, listen to you. You know, you're such an expert on everything. Mr. Henry, pretending like he's an expert.
If you keep writing that column, I'm hanging up.
So you don't
I hope she does write her damn column.
He doesn't believe in the free
press.
Listen, do you know who Ron Howard is? I interviewed Ronnie Howard. It was when he was playing Richie Cunningham on Happy Days. And he said if he ever did become a director, he would make...
Maybe he'd make a movie like Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad he is a director. But you know what? He's not a fireman. So I'm telling you that backdraft...
All right, let me ask you something. If such a big fireman, what do you use to put out fire with? Simple question, Dave.
You used to put out a fire?
Yes. What do you use?
You hook up a fire hose to a fire hydrant and it blows on the fire.
Blows what?
Water.
Very well, okay, you got me there.
Oh, get out of here.
Thank you.
Look at Dave, thank you.
Hold on.
No, I got to get going. Unless you use a what?
Unless you're using a fire extinguisher on a stove fire.
Well, that's true. Then you baking soda and everything else.
But then I hear that salt is...
Okay, fine. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to do something next week, starting Monday through Friday. Next week, we're broadcasting our show from New York City. We're going to be the very first show to broadcast live from New York City of any radio show in this country outside of New York. We are going to be there. And the reason why the Phil Hendry Show is going to travel to New York is because we've been listening to a lot of people talking the talk, but we don't see too many people walking the walk, and that is get on an airplane and begin to resume life, not as it was before September the 11th, but resume life as Americans who are supposedly confident in the kind of world that they live in, the kind of society they have, the kind of culture they have, the kind of government that they have, as Americans who understand that they are at war but are still going to carry on their lives as free people, regardless of what some mullah in Afghanistan tells us we're going to do. Because right now, I don't know who, maybe you're one of them, maybe you're not, but there are a lot of people who are doing exactly what bin Laden's telling them to do. They're sitting at home, they're sucking their thumb, they're hugging a pillow, and they're watching CNN for every possible scrap of anthrax news so they can get themselves even further wound into a freaking knot. But this radio show is going to travel to New York City. We're going to be there this weekend. We're going to be on the air in New York from the Museum of Television and Radio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to go to restaurants. We're going to go to nightclubs. We're going to try to get into ball games. We're going to go to the shows. We're going to enjoy this great city called New York, the capital of America. Yes, I know Washington is, but for all intents and purposes, from the rest of the world's point of view, from the rest of the world's vantage point, New York is the capital of this great place we call America. And our radio show will become the very first of any radio show in this country to broadcast live, remote, from New York City for a solid week, because we can't wait to get there. We can't wait to throw back a few beers. We can't wait to travel east side, west side, all over the freaking town. Now, let me just throw this out as a challenge to anybody else in my business who has a radio show, a nationally syndicated radio show, which means you probably have the resources to do it. I challenge you to also go to New York and to do your radio shows or your television shows from that great city. You know, every time Disneyland has an anniversary of some kind, I know Disneyland and Disney World are great for this. Every time they have a 20th anniversary or a 30th anniversary, or in fact, this year, this month, if I'm not mistaken, next year. Next year, around October, Disney World will be 30 years old, if you can believe it. Isn't that just something? Disney World's 30. I can't believe it, Harry. And they always do something very, very nice. They fly in radio stations from all over the country to celebrate the anniversary of their park, and they have a radio studio there. Well, New York is there. New York City is ready, willing, and able to become a host to as many people who want to promote that city and promote life returning to that city as want to. And we've been sitting here talking about it, and everybody's been sitting there talking about it, but nobody's making a move. We're going to make a move. And by the way, it's brought to you by Priceline.com, terrific sponsor of ours. And Priceline has now become the official travel provider for airline tickets, hotel rooms, and rental cars for the Phil Hendry Show. And I suggest that if you guys, unlike a lot of your favorite radio hosts and TV hosts, if you guys want to sack up a little bit, grow a pair, and visit New York, I suggest you go to Priceline.com for all your travel needs today. And what, when I say sack up and grow a pair, what are we talking about? Going on vacation in New York? This is not like you're hitting the beach at Da Nang, brother. This ain't like you're hitting the beach at freaking Guadalcanal. You're taking a vacation trip to the great city of New York. So we invite you, those of you who are listening on the radio, to join us here every day, of course, every night, wherever you listen to us, to enjoy the Phil Henry Show. But we also invite you, kind of extra special invite you for next week, because we will be on the air from Midtown Manhattan at the Museum of Television and Radio in New York City, where we will be broadcasting our show, and we'll be doing the Phil Henry Show. And I don't know how much of the show will actually, when you do a radio remote, man, there really isn't much of the color of any individual place you can bring to the broadcast other than having people on with New York accents, you know. And now here's Morty. He's a cab driver. Morty?
Yeah, I'm from New York.
Okay, great. Thanks. Get out of here. Let's go to another bit. But we're going to be there, and we're going to be living our lives in New York. I've been to New York probably 20 times in my life. I've never had a bad time. And I don't know how many of you have ever really been to the city of New York, the city we call the Big Apple. People are born, raised, and die in this country without traveling to some of the great cities that we have, whether it's a Chicago, whether it's a New York, whether it's a Boston, San Francisco. Well, let's forget about San Francisco. I'm kidding. They're fine. I've just been there. San Francisco, I'm like bored with. New York, you never get bored. You never get bored traveling to New York City. You never, ever are at a loss for something to do. You are never, ever at a loss for something to see. And you're never, ever at a... And I'm talking about just standing on a street corner. And for those of you who've never been to New York City and you probably think the place is some crime-ridden hole, man, you're going to have to kind of get updated a little bit, because that ain't been the case in that town for I don't know how long. At 3 o'clock in the morning, you can walk across Times Square coming from a theater or from a restaurant, going to a hotel, going to a bar... 3 a.m. I'm talking about. You can walk through Times Square, not a problem. And let me tell you, there's never been a better time to be flying. Never been a better time. If you go to Priceline.com, as a matter of fact, or wherever you get your airline tickets and you find out some of these airfares, you're going to freak, your hair is going to stand on end. You won't believe the prices that you can get for an airline ticket anywhere in this country. So let me just say, and I'm not saying this because we think we're extra special. We're saying this as a challenge to everybody because I'm personally getting really fed up with the way my business, my industry, is giving voice to every panicked so-called bioterrorism expert out there and giving voice to every panicked so-called expert on anthrax and everything else. We've had some tragic deaths. We've had people who've been exposed. We do not have an epidemic. And the way these guys are irresponsibly reporting this, you'd think that this was the biblical plague revisited. And I'm getting really sick and tired of it. And we're going to start to live our lives. We're going to continue to observe our country anew and to continue to see this country of ours in a new and more, perhaps more focused way. Maybe we're a little bit more aware, but we are still going to live our lives as Americans. We're not going to get into a bomb shelter, and we're not going to crawl into bed and suck our freaking thumb. We're going to get out. We're going to live, baby. Okay? The time is to go on the offensive. We've been on the defensive too long. Go on the offensive now. Stick it right back up their ass. Stick it right back up their ass. Get on a plane, get in a car, go out and live, booby. And so what we say is our show travels to New York. We broadcast for a solid week. Like I said, not that it's the greatest feat. This isn't like the Flying Willendas, baby. All I'm doing is getting on an airplane and flying to New York and having a couple of beers and a couple of dinners and doing our show from New York. But we have to put it this way because some people are out there going, really? You're going to go there? Yes. So, but I understand. So I throw this challenge to any radio show, any talk show that's been doing that whole paying that lip service about we have to get back to living our lives normally. Get on a plane and fly to New York. Do your show from there. Why don't we get all like 20, 50, 100 radio shows emanating from New York City and let the American people know, because this is where we can really have an impact. Your cornball opinions, my stupid opinions, your dumb bits, my dumb bit, who cares? Tomorrow's a new day and nobody remembers. But you want to know where we can really do some good and really have an impact? As opposed to doing show number 8 billion about the anthrax scare, not... is to get on the air from New York City maybe 30, 50, 100 radio shows broadcasting the great delights of that town and the great things that there are to do in that city and the wonderful things to see and the culture of America that bubbles up from the streets of New York, to see one of the cradles of American society and American culture, New York City, and we can tell people about that. If we get enough people from New York City doing our show, people are going to become empowered again. Now, if you say, well, I don't know, Phil, there could be another terrorist attack. Could be, yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. We're at war. I understand that. Those things come with a particular risk. In New York City right now, a terrorist attack, I'd say the likelihood of that is pretty freaking low, man. I don't know about anywhere else. You might be able to sit back home there in Broken Whistle, Colorado, and I'll be sitting in New York, and who knows, anthrax might turn up in your damn envelope there or your post office. I don't know. But if you're going to sit and hold on to yourself, we're never going to get moving on with this world. So let's decide, at least if you're in the broadcasting end of things, that maybe a trip to New York and doing a radio show from there isn't such a bad idea. Starting next Monday, and I'm going to be hitting this all week, and I don't care if you get tired of hearing about it, too. Starting next Monday, the Phil Hendry Show becomes the very first radio show that doesn't originate in New York City, the very first radio show to do a week's worth of shows from New York since September the 11th. And I mean, we're going to be everywhere, from the restaurants to the bars to the theaters to the you-know-what. And let me also say something about the people in Oregon, that 800, the group of 800 that flew. They were my inspiration for this. 800 people put together by a travel agency up in Oregon, and I saw that in a paper, and I said, you know what, that's so true. It's time to fly, baby. It's time to go. You guys that listen to us in Stamford, Norwalk, Connecticut, our New Haven affiliate, our Philadelphia affiliates, anybody back east listening to our show, come on up to New York and meet us. Come on up to New York and watch the show. Come on up to New York and buy me dinner. Just kidding. But come on up to New York. All right? And it's brought to you again by our great friends at Priceline.com. Where would we be? Where would we? Would we have hotels? Would we have airfare? Would we have anything? Would I have any kind of a life without my friends at Priceline? Thank you. Go to Priceline.com for all your travel needs today. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And I've just spent 15 minutes telling you how great I am. So I'm joking. Give us a call. It's the Phil Hendry Show. So is anthrax real? Is anthrax not real? Do you have anthrax? Can you get anthrax? Does your dog have anthrax? What do you look like? Would I look better with anthrax? How do you spell anthrax? Where's anthrax from? Are they going back? Is it a band? Is it a disease? Is it both? Anthrax, 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 and nobody is any better informed about it. No one is any better informed about anthrax in the 2 or 3 weeks that we've been living with this threat. Nobody's any the better, except for the fact that we know it ain't the big bioterror that we thought it was, and now they got guys on TV trying to make it into a huge. Hey, look, are you not afraid of anthrax? No, I recognize that it's probably cutaneous. Yes, I know there is the inhaled form. 3 people have died from it, maybe 4, but it isn't, you know, it's not the huge threat that we thought it was. Well, then, what about smallpox? I mean, what do you guys just want to keep coming up with something until we're all in a panic? Is that what you're trying to do in the interest of keeping us informed? I think you guys are the reason why we got an anthrax problem today, because you guys were the ones inviting all the bioterror experts on a week after they hit the World Trade Center, and whoever's out there with the anthrax got the bright idea to stick it in the mail. Well, Phil, one of the envelopes, the one that was mailed to Africa, was mailed on September the 9th. Well, it was mailed to Africa. I'm telling you right now, I think it's some kook. This is my honest-to-God belief. A kook who got inspired by the World Trade Center, dumped it all out there sometime between September 19th and early October, because they haven't had anything new since. And now he's, you know, now the Postal Service, the United States, the Department of Justice, the FBI, everybody's on his rear end. By the way, speaking of being on someone's rear end, did you see what the Special Forces did on Saturday when they went into Sheikh Omar or Mullah Omar's home there? They went in about, I don't know how many Special Forces were involved, but they went in and allegedly left pictures of the New York City fireman who'd been killed in the World Trade Center attack. Among the other things that they did. So, I don't know, man. The whole anthrax rap is starting to get a little tired. You know what it should say? Not, is anthrax a big threat? It ought to say, in the crossfire, how can we make people more afraid of anthrax than they already are? Maybe they have a big newsroom meeting there at CNN or Fox saying, look, we're not doing it, man. Everybody's just, they're like going about their lives. They're actually getting back to doing comedy on the late shows. I mean, how are we going to get these people freaked out? I don't know. How can we freak you out about anthrax? Join our CNN poll. All right, anyway, here is Jeanette. Hi, Jeanette. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Fine.
If we can just get back to the New York, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah?
I totally agree with you about, you know, just, going into the city. I mean, I think I live in Connecticut and I frequent New York all the time. You know, I was lucky enough to see the producers recently. I went to Times Square for New Year's Eve.
Did you go see producers after World Trade Center 9/11?
No, uh-huh. I had tickets for prior to that. But,
right.
You know, I just frequent the city. It's an hour train ride for me. So
yeah.
I have plans to see the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I'm still going to do that. I have tickets for the Radio City, you know, Christmas show. I'm still going to do that. You know, I just think that we should just keep going to the city. It's a great place.
Let me, if people are so afraid, then you can put it in this context. You know, there are soldiers on the front lines right now. There are members of the military right now preparing and in action. And I hear a lot of people say, well, what can I do? I'm not a soldier. Well, this is what you can do. You don't think those guys who are going into action in Afghanistan or anywhere else are a little trepid, you know, feeling a little trepidation about what they're doing, but they're doing it anyway because mm-hmm. it's good for the country?
Yeah.
Well, how's about the rest of us do something that maybe we've got a little trepidation about, but we go and do it anyway? If you want to put it that way, and I don't think that you should, but if people are afraid, well, go ahead and travel anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The anthrax scare. I was in the bank the Friday that they found the anthrax in an envelope that went to NBC in New York.
Yeah.
And this woman was so freaked out about it. She was at the teller next to me, and she said, did you hear they found Amtrak in an envelope in New York City?
They found Amtrak, did they?
Amtrak
is insane. Oh, my God, yeah.
They
Some
found
people...
Amtrak in an envelope in New York City.
Yeah, what about? Were they two tickets to Miami? I'll take them.
Yeah. Oh, just the 9:15, they stuffed it into an envelope. Amtrak belongs in New York City. That's where it traveled.
I remember when AIDS was first revealed in the press and in the popular culture, and you could get AIDS from handling money. You could get AIDS from a toilet seat. Mm-hmm. You could get AIDS from kissing somebody.
Yeah,
I remember
in a tanning booth.
Yeah, in a tanning booth? You heard that? Oh, boy, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, sweat from a tanning booth.
You could sweat from a tanning. You could get AIDS. And the panic associated with AIDS was very similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to this. People thought that they just had sex, and how did they know it was a girl? That maybe it was a guy. You know, they had their eyes closed. So anyway, Jeanette.
Can we actually go see you at the radio museum?
That's a good question. I would say I'm going to find out and let you know. Listen to the show. I'll let you know.
I do.
Okay?
Every because night. I actually do your show promos for the New Haven, Connecticut affiliate station.
Oh.
So I record all the things that say, put on Phil Henry.
Well, there you go.
And he'll put you on.
Well, thank you.
You know, or we say, Phil Henry has a lot of character, or should I say, characters.
Okay, Jeanette, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Can I read you a very quick, very funny email that has something to do with
No, I don't have any time now. I'm out of time. Give me a call back, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, so she's chronic. Nice to have you with us, Jeanette, for the ninth call. 1-800-449-8686. Amtrak in an envelope. But I recall when AIDS became the cause to fear, the disease to fear in the early 80s, and the panic associated with that was very much similar to this. You could get it from toilet seats, from just from being good-looking, you could get it. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.